ready for two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Dave Palumbo, John Romano. RxMuscle.com presents Heavy Muscle Radio.
Watch out, throw!
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRIndustries.com.
Welcome to another episode of Heavy Muscle Radio. My name is John Romano, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Dave Palumbo. Dave, I am actually here in the studio with you and Jeff, the producer, doing our show.
Yeah, I know. We only got you for one more day, so I guess it's we better squeeze as much out of you as possible here.
Yeah, well, here I am. Squeeze me.
Well,
not you, but...
Yesterday was the New York Pro Bodybuilding Championships in New York City, and we were all in there in full force, including Jeff, the producer, and Diego, and Sean Andros, and who else was with us? We had Nick Palladino, who's a new member of the team.
Yeah, Nick was there
doing some good work.
We had some wonderful ladies helping us out. We had Kat Ramirez. We had Jeff's lovely girlfriend Sarah. We had Colette Nelson.
Lisa Hendricks was taking paparazzi shots. Sometimes
we had a crew there.
We had I'm also missing Chris Zimmerman, who took some great pictures.
Yeah, sure he did.
Of the stage. So, well, I mean, we have a pretty good show because we got some good guests on here. We got Mark Dugdale calling in, who we kind of booked prior to us even realizing he was going to finish in second place in that 202 class to Kevin English.
Yeah, we called that right. And he's an interesting guy, Mark Dugdale.
Yeah, I think people are going to like him. He's very quiet, but I think he's got a lot to say. And he's one of these guys. It's not just his whole life is in bodybuilding. He's got a family. He's got a business. And I've never talked to him on the air, so I think it'll be good for our listeners to get a taste of what he's all about. Because you got to remember, John, he worked for Weider for many years, so he never was able to talk to us.
Right. I know he's always wanted to. But he's a well-rounded guy. I mean, I'm very interested to hear what he's got to say about a lot of things about his life and how he manages to do so much.
Yeah, well, I mean, that we'll try to find guests that our listeners will find interesting.
Yep.
And Mark fits that category. We also have Jim Raquel on the show, who's one of the head MPC IFBB judges. He's also the MPC district chairman in Upper New York. He'll be on the show to break down the whole show from a judge's standpoint, since he judged, and tell us exactly, you know, what went on. And obviously, if all our listeners haven't heard by now, I don't know if you've been under a rock or what, Evan Santapani, on his rookie debut, wins the Men's Open New York Pro Bodybuilding Championships. And his record, John, is slowly but surely building up, most of them in the win column. Okay, the guy only has one loss his entire career.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You know, he's a great bodybuilder, and I think that he's that kind of stature that this sport needs. He's young, vibrant, good-looking guy with great physique, great flowing lines. He all goes together. He's not really missing very much. And a young diamond in the rough, so to speak. This guy's got some refinement ahead of him, and I think once he does, he's going to keep racking up those wins. And who knows? Maybe we're looking at a future Mr. Olympia here, Dave.
We very might well be. And, you know, I think once he grows into his body, he's got this huge hulking body, and I just don't think he's comfortable with moving it around yet. Once he gets that body awareness that just comes with age and development and practice, he's going to be displaying that physique he's got, and the judges are going to be even more impressed, because right now he's not even giving them the best that he's got.
No, not yet. But I'm sure Jim Raquel will give us a rundown on what Evan needs to do to put that polish on.
Well, you know, in my viewpoint, I mean, the guy probably improved by at least 10% over the Nationals. You know, I don't think it was any more than that. But it was definitely enough to step up his game to beat veterans like Dennis James, Marcus Rule, Silvio Samuel, who's a top 10 Olympia contender who just won the Ironman this year. He beat Hidetada Yamagishi, among others, you know, including Tarek El Sotui and Darren Charles. So,
right.
You know, he didn't beat a slouchy lineup here. And this definitely cements Evan as a realistic contender in the top ranks of the IFBB now.
It sure does. And it's going to be interesting to see if he does the Olympia and where he ends up lining up at the top of the top.
Well, let's not also forget the men's 202 class debuted for the second year in a row at the New York Pro, and Kevin English notched up victory number two, 2 years in a row, that is. He beat his arch nemesis, David Henry, who is the reigning 202 showdown champion at the Olympia. And he also beat Mark Dugdale and Ed Correa, who was the champion at the 202 class at the Pittsburgh 2 weeks prior. So Kevin English is a force to be reckoned with. I don't think anyone's going to beat this guy at the come Olympia time. What do you think?
You know, to me, he was the most shocking and amazing addition to that entire show, mostly because of the fact that I saw him 6 months ago at 250 plus pounds, and now here he is at 202. You know, Dave, I don't know where that 48 pounds went. I mean, he's just a hard as a rock, big as a house. I don't know how the heck that guy is 202 pounds. And judging from where he was 6 months ago, I'm just absolutely floored because the guy wasn't fat. I don't know where that weight was and what he did with it. But, man, that guy looked just he was an absolute freak.
It was more than likely probably around his lower back and his or even maybe around his hips and his legs, because his upper body in the tank top, that the arms, shoulders, chest, back always look ripped, even when he's 250, 260, 270. So Kevin's just got one of those physiques that he kind of hides the fat in good places, and he's got such a tiny waist and hip structure that you really don't even see it. But I think that the real showdown of showdowns is going to come at that Olympia 202 class when him and Henry square off again, because I think Henry's pissed off. I know he wasn't at his best. It'll be interesting to see these two guys at their best, who wins.
Yeah, it sure will, Dave. And I think, for me, I thought that 202 class was almost more exciting than the Open.
Well, the Women's Bodybuilding Pro Championships also took place, and Kathy LeFrancois repeated also as champion. So that's 2 years in a row for her winning that show. Displayed, you know, impeccable conditioning. Her symmetry was great. She looked beautiful. I mean, you and I spoke about this before. We've discussed it. This is what we think the prototypical female bodybuilder should be on stage. You know, whether the sport evolves in that direction or not remains to be seen.
I sure hope it does, Dave, because she looked just absolutely stunning up there. There was just nothing wrong with her. And as far as looking at a female bodybuilder with as much beauty and sex appeal as she had, you know, if that's the direction they can keep this thing going, I'm telling you, women's bodybuilding will definitely have a resurgence and perhaps see the kind of attention and appeal that it had back in the 80s.
Yeah, well, we'll have to ask Jim Raquel his opinion on that. Finishing in second was Betty Pariso at the show, and in third was Rosemary Jennings. Those three girls go back to the Olympia, requalified. Debbie Bramwell, a good friend and RX Muscle Forum member, was fourth, while Dina Westerfield was fifth. So the women's show was fantastic in the sense that 24 women vied for that title from many, many different countries. And this is just what women's bodybuilding needs, a resurgence of interest. The theater was sold out, I think maybe two times over, John,
yeah,
the way Steve was selling tickets. And, you know, it just goes to show that women's bodybuilding, there's still an interest for it.
There sure is. And I think it's growing, Dave.
I think it might, you know, and I think that if we keep nurturing it the way we are, at least on the RX Muscle website, and we keep putting money into it and sponsorship dollars, the fans like it. I think they do like it. And, you know, if you give them a choice, they'll probably pick the men. But if you give them both, I think they'll really appreciate what we're doing for them.
They seem to, because the audience was just as full for the women as it was for the men. So I didn't see anybody walking out when the women came on.
And I will be making an appearance on Muscle Girls Inc. Tomorrow night. That's Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard, to break down the entire show with Chrissy and Colette. So you guys don't want to miss that.
Heck no, who better than you to break down a women's bodybilding contest? You probably prepped three quarters of the competitors.
I had about four in there, but you know. You never know what happens. We try to get Wennerstrom. I think he's mad at us. So
he shouldn't be mad at us.
I don't know what he's mad at us for. But anyway, let's get on to the news. Jeff, run it.
It's time for the news on Heavy Muscle Radio.
All right, our first news item, John, of the day is March 13th. I just read this, so we're a little behind the times. Obviously, we're already in May here. March 13th was the Japanese Penis Festival. And I don't know if you heard about this event, John. They actually have a Japanese name for it called the Honen Matsuri. and that's called the Penis Parade. And they celebrated every March 15th in Komaki, a town about 45 minutes north of Nagoya in Japan. And people walk down the streets with large wooden penises, and they give three cheers for fertility and renewal. So it's like one of these, you know, I guess like kind of like they used to celebrate to get the crops fertile and stuff like that. Now they do it for female fertility. Although you think in a country that has overpopulation the way it does, they probably wouldn't be praying for that so much anymore.
Well, we're talking wooden penises. So an actual woody.
It actually, now that I checked this little story here, it is for fertility with regard to women and having a good harvest. So I guess this is something that they've been doing for hundreds and hundreds of years, maybe thousands for that matter. And they're just trying to, they continue to do it yearly. each year in Komaki, a new 2.5 meter penis is carved out of a cypress tree. I just report the news, John. I don't comment on it. They put it on a float, and they carry it from one shrine, which is a male shrine, all the way to the female shrine. And they're only carried by 42-year-old men, because 42 supposedly is not a lucky number in Japan.
42.
Yeah, it's not a lucky number.
So why do they use this?
I knew you were going to ask that question. So they get these 42-year-old men to hold this wooden penis, and because when you're 42, you're not supposed to be lucky. It's supposed to bring luck to these men.
Dave, that makes no sense.
Yes, I'm just telling you what they do.
Okay, remind me not to go.
Yeah, well,
I'm too old anyway.
That's right. If you don't want to have any more kids anyway, I think you got enough.
Yeah, three.
In another story, I get an email, John, the other day from one of my clients, and you know, what happens invariably is that at some point during a diet, and this doesn't happen to all my clients, they break down and have a mental or nervous breakdown, and they go binge and they eat.
Right.
And I always get the same email. This is not like this is a typical email, but I wanted to repeat it here because a lot of people don't know, you know, what the kind of emails I deal with on a daily basis. So this person sends me this email, and they said, "On Saturday, my metabolism went crazy, which is good. But I didn't have the food to keep up with it." Okay, now right away they're already preparing me for an eat fest that they're telling me or claiming is something that they needed to do. Okay, well, they've already rationalized.
But wait, what is a sign to a dieter that your metabolism is going crazy?
Usually it's just obsessive hunger. But anyway, so this is what he ate. "I had my breakfast on Sunday morning. And I had to have a granola bar with orange juice with it. I was just dying. So I went and lifted weights and then had my shake at 12. I had to leave for church early because I was nauseously hungry by 12:45. So I got home and I ate 1,000 calories of cheat food. And it did nothing for me." It did nothing, John, for this guy.
1,000 calories.
This was after they already had the granola bar and orange juice.
And I'm sure that's rounded down, too, so let's call it 1,500.
Right. "Then I had 2 Big Macs and a large fry and a drink, and I was hungry an hour and a half later. Imagine that."
Imagine that.
"So I then had 4 donuts and like 20 ounces of soda and a pack of cinnamon bears and was starving an hour later.
Jeez.
I then had Chinese food, 2 cups of rice and orange chicken and General Tso's chicken. and then I went to bed. I must have eaten 5,000 to 6,000 calories, and my body and it evaporated the next morning. I can't understand it." So,
well, that's why they hire you, because they can't understand it.
Right. And then what happens is I get an email from them with their daily update, with their weekly updates, and they wind up gaining 5 pounds. And then they're like, "I don't know where it came from.
Yeah, I can't figure it out.
Didn't you have a cheat meal last week like that?" "Oh, well, last week my weight was fine."
Yeah. It's interesting how they were hungry, you know, a couple of minutes later.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why we've always told Derek Anthony to not have sex with Asian women, because, you know, 20 minutes later he'll be horny again.
You know what? This email could have come from Mr. G. It didn't, but it could have. I've gotten stories like that from him many times.
Was it written in hieroglyphics? Is that why?
You know, Mr. G would always tell me that, you know, this was his rationalization when he was really hungry. He's like, "I could eat anything I want when I'm dying, and I can just will the calories and the fat off my body." He's like, "It doesn't matter. I can diet on donuts and I can lose weight." So this invariably happens like every couple days while he's dieting. And when he gets to the stage, Mr. G has never won a show. He always comes in like second or third. So I said, "You see, if you wouldn't have had all those donuts, you would have won the show."
Right.
And he's in absolute denial of that fact, you know, that it had anything to do with it or any bearing.
Of course he is.
Well, hear this one. Convicted Oklahoma City bombing conspirator Terry Nichols, John, who's now serving a life sentence in Colorado at the Supermax prison, filed a 39-page federal lawsuit in March alleging that unconstitutional, cruel, and unusual punishment because the refined foods he's eating have no fiber in them and he has constant chronic constipation and bleeding hemorrhoids. He is demanding raw vegetables and other high fiber foods necessary to keep his body in good health. Now, I know if Jimmy the Bull was here, what he would say.
Yeah, they deserve it.
He deserves it.
He blew the building up. What about those people that lost their kids?
Right.
In a nursery.
He'd say put a cork in his ass.
No, he'd say get a gorilla with some honey on his ass. Send him in there.
No, he'd
deliver the honey.
He'd say cork the ass and let him eat until he fucking explodes.
We should call him up and ask him exactly what he would say.
We should get him on the phone and ask him. Jeff, is that possible? He's probably sleeping.
Jeff, the producer, is sitting right here.
I know.
With a dog on his lap. We have nobody here, Dave. No Diego. No nobody.
Diego wanted to deliver food. I told him to take the night off. You know, he worked very hard this past Saturday.
Yes, he did.
He actually drove. Diego took paparazzi pictures at the show. And then after pre-judging, he drove all the way home, put them up for us, and then came back.
Oh, that's right. He came back.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. We have some dedicated, wonderful people with us.
Anyway, we have another news item of the week here where, you know, it's funny. You and I just went to my dad's house earlier, and you met my father for the first time, and he's 79 years old, and I know your father's, what, 81?
Yeah.
And, you know, my father's not doing so well with the driving. You know, he gets into these little fender benders and these little, you know, I didn't know the curb was there, you know, type of things. And so, you know, when you emailed me this little story before, I found it really, really funny of these elderly drivers that are having problems, you know, with driving, the way they confuse the brake pedal with the gas.
Yep.
Now, my father hasn't fallen into that category yet, thank God. Otherwise, I wouldn't let him drive. But here's a couple of reports that I guess are on the books. One is an 89-year-old man accidentally crashed into his wife in a parking lot in Greenville, South Carolina. He hit his wife with the car. Maybe he hit her on purpose. I don't know.
You never know.
You know, wasn't that a Henny Youngman joke? Take my wife, please.
Take my wife, please.
An 88-year-old man accidentally drove through the front window of a restaurant in Redondo Beach, California, injuring 5 people. An 85-year-old woman on her way to take the driver's test, okay? She was going to take a driver's test, accidentally crashed into the building that houses the licensing office, okay, where she's going to get her license. Imagine that. That's as bad as running over your driver's driving test instructor.
So, it's close. It's a close second.
There's a lot of people out there that have a lot of problems.
Now, what do you think, Dave? You know, both of us have fathers who are elderly. My father stopped driving.
He
knew enough to quit. Your father's a lot more energetic and vivacious than my dad, and I noticed he drives a little sports car out. I saw it out in the driveway. Do you think there's a point where we should start considering when elderly people should be forbidden from driving?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they should have to take driving tests. You know, I hate to say it because I don't think my father would pass, really.
Well, you know, it creates a problem because, you know, once you take their driver's license away from them, how are they going to, you know, go to the store, get food, go to the doctor, go see their friends? I mean, it becomes a very limiting situation. On the other hand, some of these people just shouldn't be behind the wheel. They kill people. So I think it's a difficult situation that we need to deal with at some point.
Yeah, I don't know what the answer to that is because I know my dad does. My father won't drive long distances. He'll go around the corner. He'll go to the supermarket. He comes back. What I don't like what he does is once in a while he gets daring. He'll try to drive at night, which is not, which is dangerous for him. Although he claims he's not doing that anymore. So I think that people have to, you know. And the funny thing is, my dad's not rich by any means, but he's not poor. He can afford to take a cab. You know, he just doesn't like it. I guess he thinks that it's making him seem helpless. But the truth is, my father's as lazy as they come. If I would come there and pick him up and drop him off at the place, he'd love it.
Right.
So I said, Dad, just take a cab everywhere you want to go. What do you care?
Right.
There's a lot of cabs locally that, they get there and you'll get to your house in 10 minutes.
So they can have bus services, cab services at, you know, whatever rates people can afford.
Yeah, I think they should.
I think they should because I've seen, look, I've ridden a motorcycle for many, many, many years, and the only times that I've almost been killed has either been through elderly people not paying attention or Asian women. But Jimmy Pelleccio will tell you all about the Asian women driving. But, you know, an elderly Asian woman is a lethal object on the road. I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, racist or anything, and I'm certainly not being, and it is stereotypical, but the reality is when you're driving down the street on a motorcycle and somebody looks you right in the eye and pulls out in front of you, and it's happened to you a few times over the course of, you know, several years, and they all happen to be the same kind of person, I think it warrants taking a look at, don't you?
I agree. I do agree. I have to say to you, I agree with the situation. And you know what? A great business would be to go into, especially now in our world where people, the population is getting older and older, and you have a lot more 80, 90-year-old people. Someone should, and I'm sure this occurs, or at least is in place in some communities, probably more so where you live in Florida.
Right.
There's a lot more old people. Someone should have services, car services.
Oh, they do.
For older people. Do they really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely they do.
I mean, they would make a fortune up here, too, because people have money up here. Who wouldn't pay, if you know, $10 to get driven to the supermarket or $20 for the supermarket?
Sure.
I'd do it.
I'd do it.
I mean, I guess it's cheaper than having a guy on call for you all the time.
Yeah.
You know
this, maybe Obama could make that part of the stimulus package.
Well, you know, if any industrious entrepreneurial people out there are listening, maybe they'll start up a new business. So, all right, John, before we go to break, I just want to say thank you to our sponsors, of course, Arthur L. Ray at ALR Industries for continued support of the show. Arthur was in the studio last week. His segment we did, which was a little goofy there with the porn star, was very popular among my listeners. Although one guy got really pissed off. He thought we went a little too carried away with it. And I had to explain to him that we were having fun and that not to take everything we do so seriously. And he got the gist of it. But
was that the guy who said, "I have a face for radio"?
Probably, yeah. Oh, yeah, that was the guy who said that. Yes. As a matter of fact, that was the space, the guy that made that comment.
Well, but I appreciated that comment.
Yeah, I'm sure you did.
Well, because it's true.
Face only a mother can love. We both have a face only a mother can love. So.
Or a dog.
Or a dog. And luckily, I have two cute dogs.
So you get double the love.
Double the love, right. So, once again, Arthur L. Ray has three new products coming out. Porn Star just debuted. Comatose will be coming out, I heard, here in a few weeks. And Poison also will be coming out around the same time. So look for ALR's products on their website, alrindustries.com, or probably any of your retailers that carry the ALR line of products. One other thank you we have to give is to Dr. Scott Connolly, of course, Progenix. And you can visit his website at ProgenixSRG.com. And, you know, we're going to have him on the show next week, John, for the continued lecture series he's been doing with us. And this guy just doesn't stop working. He flies all over the country. He's at meetings. He's always getting updates on new protein supplements on the market. He's really working this new food line. We got some good stuff to talk about with Scott.
Yeah, you know, my son is here with me in the studio today, and I'm looking at him thinking about, you know, the things he eats for breakfast, and wherever we're in the store, and I'm buying the cereal that he likes, and I'm always looking at the first ingredient, and it's either sugar is either the first or second ingredient in these things, and I just don't want to buy them. And knowing that Dr. Connolly is out there actively creating a kid's cereal that's high in protein, it's got fiber and things in it that are good for kids,
no sugar,
that still tastes good and are good for them, you know, I think that's a really great thing. And is his food line, you know, with that sort of idea progresses, it's going to be a great thing for this population. And he's one of the few people that is actively taking an interest in the health of the country, not just bodybuilders.
Without a doubt. And let's not forget about Progenix drinks. They're going to be put in that new delivery system where you just have to screw them onto the top of a bottle. It drops into the powder, shake it up, and drink. If you watch any MMA fight on TV, you see a lot of these guys sipping down one of these things at the end of their match. Evidently, Connolly is heavily involved in the MMA arena, and a lot of these fighters like the product because it has very little calories, usually under 100 calories,
right,
yet has a nice little blast of protein there for recovery and increased recovery rates after working out. So we want to say thank you to Dr. Scott Conley as well. And I think it's time for us to go to commercial break, John. And when we come back, we will have our first guest.
See you in 2 minutes.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then fuel your workouts with the great tasting and energy enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRindustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
Hey, this is the Game, Triple H from the WWE. You're listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Palumbo.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by ALR Industries. Visit ALRindustries.com.
All right, our next guest is a top NPC and IFBB judge. He's a gym owner and he's the NPC district chairman for Upper New York. Without further ado, let me introduce Jim Raquel. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us.
You got it.
You were at the New York Pro, obviously, one of the top judges in the panel there. Let's start right off with Evan Santapani. Give us your overall impression of the guy.
Evan's got a great future. He's really a well-put-together guy, young man. He's got basically all the parts. He just needs to figure out where they are and how to pose them. You know, he just needs a little refinement there, basically. But that's his first pro show, and it's a great great way to start your pro career.
Now, why did you guys particularly go with Evan? What was, like, the defining factor that said, you know what, Evan's going to beat DJ, he's going to beat Marcus Rule tonight?
For me, most of it was just the muscle the guy shows. You know, he was superior in the back area. He's got really fine-looking muscle. It's very well-defined, and it's a young-looking muscle, too. I mean, he looks strong, and he's put together well. I mean, both front and back. He needs a little more leg sweep and that type of thing to balance himself out a little bit more, but he's got a tremendous future ahead of him. He just, you know, he had that better look than the other two guys did.
Does that come into play? Does that come into play, Jim? You know, the whole idea that he's got that young, tight skin. He's a good looking guy. Is that something that the IFBB likes to promote?
I don't think it's something that's consciously out there, but it's subconsciously, as you're looking at somebody, you can see that future in there. Mm-hmm. And you can see that muscle. I mean, it's good muscle, and it's young.
Right.
And it just looked good on the kid. And Dennis, of course, came in great shape, but he lacks certain things. He doesn't have much in the back area and other parts of his body. And it just was the right combination at the right time.
Now, you said, Jim, that you know he's got a bright future and a lot of positive things about that. But looking forward, do you see Evan Centopani as a future Mr. Olympia?
I think that he could go pretty far. You know, I'm not sure how long it's going to take him. Like I said, he does need some refinement. He's really raw up there. He hasn't had a lot of experience, it looks like, on the stage in terms of posing and how to show the body that he's got. And I think he really needs to work with somebody in order to do that. But he does look like he's going to have a strong future. He looks like he's going to be a possible top five contender in the Olympia at some point. This year, I doubt it, but, you know, in the future.
What would you say is aside from his presentation, which I 100% agree with you, what would you say his structural weaknesses are right now? And what would you, you know, as far as what you think he needs to directly work on for his next appearance?
The most glaring would be probably the leg sweep. You know, he appears to be straight up and down. He just needs more muscle and more sweep on the legs, the frontal thigh especially. From the back, he looks pretty good. His hamstrings look good. His calves look good. And his back has really nice development to it. But mostly from the front, you know, that sweep. And he just needs to know how to hold that upper carriage. He tends to, his shoulders are kind of pulled in a little bit. He should be a little bit wider.
Hmm. So you recommend that he probably gets a hold of a posing coach and works pretty hard with them, huh?
No question. No question. He definitely needs to do that, yeah.
Right. What did you think of, you mentioned a little bit, tell us a little bit about Dennis James. Was he better, in your mind, than his last outing at the Olympia, or was he worse?
I think he was better. Dennis looks like he's improved. He seems to be putting it together a little bit more. He has a tendency to come in a little bit heavy and soft at times, but it seems like he's dealing with that, and he's got his sharpness back. He's just got some structural issues, you know, with the high lats and everything. Just makes him appear a little bit off, you know, a little unbalanced. But he definitely put together a nice package for the show.
What would DJ have needed to beat Evan last night? In your mind, at least.
I would say probably if he had come in ultra ripped. I mean, if he was really shredded, that might have helped him.
Well, let's talk about Marcus Rule.
That's about the only thing.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, let's talk about Marcus Rule for a second, his comeback. Do you think it was a success for him?
Yeah, Marcus is he's a crowd pleaser. People love the guy, and he's a very personable guy, and he's always playing to the crowd. And, you know, he put together a nice presentation there, and he's definitely building that body. I mean, structurally, he's got some issues there, but, you know, he's putting together a package. And the crowd loved him.
What would you say his structural issues are?
The body doesn't. It's mostly the body itself doesn't flow that well.
Right.
You know, there's parts on it that are look abnormally large in some areas, and small in others. I don't want to get into too much specifics on that, but it just doesn't look real, I guess I'd say.
Okay. Do you think he should keep competing? Is his retirement something he should pursue, or do you think he should keep
bringing
it?
I think Marcus actually, yeah, I think he loves it up there, and I think the fans love him, and why not? You know, if he can still do it and still, you know, put on a top five finish in the shows he gets in, keep at it.
What would you say is that if you can compare Marcus Rule today to the Marcus Rule that in 2002 won I think it was the Night of Champions then?
Yeah, what?
Oh, boy. Yeah, that goes back. I just think that he has changed his, you know, his body has been through a lot of different changes, you know, from soft to hard, back to soft again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's still trying to find what the combination is on him.
Do you think, though, it goes back to what you said earlier about, you know, when you start getting a little older, your body just doesn't look as fresh anymore?
Yeah, it definitely. Oh, there's no question about it. Definitely changes, and there's areas on your body that don't respond. You know, we've seen it in a lot of the great champions.
Sure.
You know, it's not there anymore. It's not like an atrophy situation almost at times.
Especially right. The big guys. It seems like it happens to the real big guys more so than some of the more symmetrical guys.
Yeah, definitely. It's more noticeable with them as well. That's correct, yeah. Hmm.
Now, what happened to Silvio in your mind, Jim?
Silvio just looked like he just didn't show up. I mean, his conditioning was you know, not that good, and he just looked small up there.
Right. Do you think the guy's trying to do too many shows?
It's possible. It's possible. I don't know. I mean, it's very hard for these guys. I don't see how they can do any more than a couple a year. You know, and you have to space those as well. Unless they're one right on top of the other.
Right. He does like six or seven, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's been at it, and maybe, you know, the time, it takes its toll, too.
Yeah. Right. Now, I mean, to me, I don't know if Silvio looked smaller to me, but I think when he's not ultra, ultra shredded like we're used to seeing him, his weakness is more apparent. Do you think that's a...
Exactly. You're judging him against himself, you know, and you've seen him in the best condition he's been in, and when he doesn't approach that, then those weaknesses show up.
Does that enter the minds of the judges in terms of comparisons? Are you comparing... Is part of the process comparing a guy against himself versus who's on the stage that day?
Well, it shouldn't be probably, but it sometimes is, because you know you've seen these guys over the course of time, and if they don't live up to what they've been in the past, it somewhat influences you on a subconscious level. But realistically, it should be at that time, you know, who they're competing against.
Right. Hiatada Yamagishi has basically come out of nowhere, and now he's climbing up. He seems to be getting noticed a lot. He seems to improve every time out. The crowd loves him. Do you think this guy has a bright future in the IFBB?
I don't know how far he can go with it, because he's a small guy. He's not very big. He's got some balance issues. He looks kind of squatty looking at times. He needs to really work on that, but he is putting together some nice muscle. I mean, his conditioning is good. He needs to work a little bit more on his back, obviously. He doesn't have a lot there, but in terms of conditioning, he's showing, and he's putting a lot of effort in on stage, and the crowd loves that.
Right.
So, you know, I think he's up and coming. How far he can take that body, I don't know. You know, it's not one of the bigger bodies out there. So that's tough.
He almost looks like a guy that should be in the 202, but I don't even know what the guy weighs on stage, but maybe he may be too tall for that.
You're right. Yeah, I think you're right with that. He does look like he could go into that, jump into that area. He might be very successful there, too.
I mean, when you look at Kevin English and you look at Yamagishi, you wonder, like, they're that much apart, you know, in size and weight.
Yeah, Kevin carries a lot of muscle for being that light. You know, he just... Freaky.
Yeah. Well, no, let's talk about, before we get to the 202, let's talk about Tarek El-Sotui, who was trained by Chris Aceto this time around. And there was a lot of pictures on the boards and a lot of talk about him. The guy's placed pretty good last year at the Europa Super Show. What does this guy need to do to move up in placing?
He just looked a little flat maybe this time. He wasn't as conditioned as he has been in the past.
Right.
And he has to add a little bit of size on as well, though. He needs a little bit more body there.
Do you think it was his tan, too? I mean, he was so washed out and light-looking up there. Might have just... He didn't maybe stand out to the judges' eyes?
Could be. But, you know, you can see usually beyond that, you know, the conditioning is... If it's not there, the tan... It really doesn't matter what the tan looks like, but... could be, a little bit.
Does this guy have the genetic potential in your mind to make an impact on the IFBB?
Yeah, I think he'll be he's got some genetics. He definitely has some nice shape there. He's really tapered to the waist pretty good. And yeah, I think he does. Again, how far, you know, who knows? But some of the guys you're dealing with, like the Phil Heaths, are going to be on that really way upper level, you know?
Sure.
What about Darren Charles? Is he still the guy, same guy who was winning all those shows before? What's going on with him?
Well, I always get in trouble when I say a guy is showing his age.
We all do, Jim.
And I love Durham, too. He's a great guy. And I don't want him to take any offense to anything I say, but I think maybe Father Time might be catching up a little bit with him now. Again, he still has that pop out. When as soon as he comes out, you look at him, wow, what a nice look, you know, and he shines up there. You know, the muscle just pops out at you. But as soon as he starts to pose, you notice that a lot of the areas are, you know, not as dominant as they used to be, and they're starting to not be there anymore.
Right.
No, especially in the back area. I noticed a lot in around his glutes.
Mm.
Just didn't have that hardness to the muscle anymore. You know,
he looked like he was a little undersized too to me.
Yeah, it looked like it. You know, again, you know, I don't want to totally say it might be age catching up with him. Maybe just the conditioning aspect. Maybe he just came in a little bit too light. Who knows? You know, but he's still he still got it in terms of being able to perform and electrify the crowd with his routines. And if he still loves it, keep at it.
Fair enough. So let's talk about the 202 class since we mentioned Kevin English's name before. In your mind, I mean, how good is this guy when you look at him on stage?
He's very good. It's very deceiving. It's a deceiving look with him. You look at him and go, wow, how can he carry that much muscle? He's got some nice, you know, nice lines to him. He especially looks good from the side. Great upper body. But he'll have his hands full with David Henry, you know, again, if you know, when they come to battle again.
Right, so you think it was a matter of David Henry wasn't in shape?
David Henry is incredible. You know, from my standpoint, he's a big little guy. I mean, he can really put it together. When he's crisp, I don't think he can be beat in the 202.
Wow.
Because he's got some he's got some great look to his legs and thickness. I mean, he was a lot thicker than the other two guys, than Mark or Kevin. But he just didn't have that refinement to his again, you're looking at David Henry, comparing him to himself again as well.
Right, you know, right.
What he's like past. I mean, he's just a little off.
What did you think? Well, since let's finish talking about the 202. What, Kevin English obviously wins the class. Mark Dugdale snags second, beating David Henry. What did you think of Mark? And what did you think of the difference from 2 weeks earlier at the Pittsburgh show?
Just the conditioning was a lot better. Mark just finally put it together in terms of, maybe it's going to be over a course of time now with Mark. He realizes that this is the class he should be in. And maybe won't get too far above that, that weight, 10, 15, 20 pounds or whatever.
Right.
He's really, conditioned-wise, he was very, very, much better than he was in Pittsburgh. And that basically nudged out David, because David's conditioning was off.
Mm. So you think that the David Henry factor was just that he just wasn't in shape then?
Definitely.
Okay.
Well, for me, anyway, I'm speaking from my observation of David, and I've seen him over a course of a number of years now. That's a lot of muscle for that size guy.
You're right. Kidding.
I mean, and I've judged him in various shows where I've had him higher than a lot of the other judges, because I just, in terms of what he brings up there, I think he can stand with the big guys any day.
That's a bold statement.
He's got some stuff on him. He's got some muscle on him. Hmm.
How do you think, let's fantasize a little bit here for a minute. How do you think Kevin English would have done had he done the open class?
There was talk about that. I think Kevin might have been in the top five in that open.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's any possibility down the road that the IFBB would consider allowing the winner of the 202 class to cross over?
I don't know. The crossover aspect is kind of tough in terms of judging the guys. So I don't know if that's going to be a factor or not. They might.
What about ever having like a Super Bowl type of thing, or like an overall, like between the open guy and the 202 guy?
I doubt if that'll come about, because that's like bringing back the the past with the over and under Mr. Olympia type thing. I don't know. I doubt it.
Let's talk about
but you never know. Bring it up, you know.
Yeah, no, I just like I think the fans would love it. You know, I don't know if it would really mean anything in the scheme of things as far as for the IFBB goes, but the fans may enjoy it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, we're fan based. I mean, yeah.
Might add another dimension to the show.
I'd like to see Kevin English against Evan Centipani on stage. You know, just for the hell of it. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about the women for a minute, Jim.
Sure.
Kathy LeFrancois seems to be, to me anyway, the perfect iteration of a woman bodybuilder. Is that the prevailing opinion among your rank and file?
Yeah, I think all things considered, that's the type of look that the judges would prefer to go with. Mainly because Kathy maintains her beauty. She maintains the face. She has a very nice appearance to her in the way she moves on stage, the way she poses. And she's not overbearing in terms of the amount of muscle she has. In other words, the judge is not looking up there thinking, Jesus, this girl's 3 or 4 times bigger than I am. You know, in most cases, it's true when you're looking up at some of them female bodybuilders.
Yeah.
With Kathy, it's a real nice look, and she's put together a nice package over the last couple of years.
Given the package she brought to the stage this past Saturday, how do you think this package would do in an Olympia lineup?
The Olympia turns into the big girl game, you know, mm-hmm. And you know, she's possibly a top five, but you know, more than likely below that. You know, when you bring those other girls up there, they're just so much bigger,
right? Yeah.
And you know, you look at somebody like Iris, is, you know, that's another dimension, that's another world.
Yeah.
You know, the conditioning and the shape she brings into the show.
Do you think once, like, the Iris Kyles, you know, retire, whoever knows how long that'll be?
When the meteor hits, you mean?
Yeah, when the meteor hits, right, exactly. Okay. We're all wiped out. Yeah. I mean, do you think, like, the women's bodybuilding, you know, ideal may go backwards to a Kathy LeFrancois? I mean, she may not be around either, but do you see that happening?
I would like to see that happen. I mean, speaking personally, I would like to see more of that feminine look, you know, to the women bodybuilders.
Sure.
But I don't know. I mean, it's a good possibility. We might be dealing with the last generation of that size of women. Because a lot of what we see on the NPC level is not the big girls anymore. We're getting a more symmetrical. The girls are maintaining more of the facial looks, you know, pretty looks, and so we might be going back in that direction.
There seem to be some controversy over some of the placings with some of the women. And the opinion was made, and I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm not, certainly, it's not my opinion. I'm just voicing what's been heard. That it appears that sometimes after maybe third place, the judges don't care where the girls place. They just put them up there because the placings just did not make any sense.
I can't speak to that. That's definitely not the case, though. I mean, judges do care where they put the girls, but oftentimes you've got, in this particular lineup, what we have, like 24 girls?
Yeah, right, yeah.
You had such a massive a variety, a different variety of girl up there, you know, from a real conditioned girl to a not-so-conditioned girl to, you know, it was all over the board.
Right.
So judging something like that isn't as easy as it, you know, may look from the audience. I mean, it's very difficult to try to figure out where to place some of these women.
Right. Well, you get like a Kathy.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Jim.
Well, they bring such different looks to the stage. I mean, you get a real lean look, and then you've got a heavier look, like with the girl Gomez from Mexico, you know, and then you get that real stocky look, and then you've got a lot of other girls that are, you know, more feminine looking, like Toni Thompson,
right.
But maybe softer looking too. You know, so there's just so much involved.
Sure. What would distinguish you? I mean, Kathy and Betty Parisso, who plays second, seem pretty... I don't think anyone complained about those placings. Rosemary Jennings, who was third, has a tremendous amount of muscle and is really, you know, has nice shapes, her muscle, but she was a little on the softer side from behind. And then fourth, you get Debbie Bramwell, who was in really good condition, but maybe didn't have the structure of Rosemary Jennings. I mean, how do you kind of make a decision in that case?
Well, for me, I looked at Rosemary and I said, you know, well, this is the nicest she's looked since I've been judging her. Her shape was really good. She's got a real nice symmetrical look to her. Maybe she wasn't as hard, but to me, that overweighed what Debbie brought up to the stage. And Debbie was maybe a little bit, you know, a little bit too lean in some areas.
Gotcha.
But you know, it was close. Yeah. I mean, it's a coin flip sometimes between that, but they were both very close. And the same thing goes with Betty and Kathy as well. Kathy's small, obviously. Betty's large and big.
Right.
And you got your two different looks there as well.
Are the women more difficult to judge than the men?
They tend to be, yes. Yes, because they bring so much of a different look to the stage. Over the course of their careers, they change.
Right. True. Now, is the IFBB is happy that we had such a great turnout for the women?
No, I think so. Yeah. I mean, you don't have a lot of women shows. That's right. One of the problems now. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think it's a tough thing to sell. That's why there's not a lot of promoters out there looking to do women's bodybuilding. But you still have a pretty good following. You know, people that do follow the sport and still love it, and you got a lot of these women are hanging in year after year. I mean, these women are I give them credit, they hang.
Are you guys sort of waiting for the diehards to kind of like die off or retire before there's a
you
sort
mean
of,
that meteor again?
The meteor again. Well, I mean, you know, there's a sort of a dichotomy there. I mean, you just mentioned a minute ago about the Olympia being the show for the big girls. Wouldn't it be better if you guys kind of standardized the whole thing? And if you're gonna on one hand say, hey, Kathy Lefrancois portrays or embodies the perfect image of a female bodybuilder, and then when the Olympia rolls around, you know, someone like Iris Kyle, you know, relegates Kathy Lefrancois to way back in the pack. Are you guys sort of assessing that kind of size game, or do you really want to push that Kathy Lefrancois image and kind of move out the image that's, you know, as the that's sort of over the top?
Well, ideally, you'd like to tone things down. Obviously, that over the top that you're talking about. Obviously, you do want to bring it back to some kind of reality. But it's what's in front of you that you're judging. You know, and if that muscle's the best up there, what are you going to do?
Right.
I mean, if we go back to the Anya Schreiner day, you know, when we made that statement that one year with Anya,
right.
If we had stuck to that type of look, maybe we wouldn't be in the predicament, you know, in terms of having women with so much muscle up there now. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, everything evolves. It's, you know, it's women's bodybuilding evolved from more of a, you know, a way back when fit look to, you know, to a class unto itself. I mean, the women are incredible. They could stand up with a lot of the men.
Well, you know, not that long ago, Jim, my esteemed colleague here, Dave Palumbo, was nearly crucified when he made the comment that the solution to this whole thing is to just steroid test the women. And that didn't go over too well. But honestly, I think that's the solution. What do you think?
I think it could be a solution. I don't think it'll ever come to that.
We got to wait for that meteor then.
Yeah.
I mean, women's bodybuilding is women's bodybuilding. It's what it is. I mean, I think in terms of the other divisions in the women's group, fitness and figure, for instance, I don't think there should be any drugs at all involved with that.
They don't need them.
It's a
right.
Totally different game. Yeah. And, you know, in some cases, you know, maybe those are the two that should be tested, you know, if we ever got implemented that anymore, you know, again, let's say. But in women's bodybuilding, I don't think it'll ever come to that.
Hmm. Our final assessment. Jim, I got to ask you this last question here. If you were advising Evan Centopani, do you think he should do the Olympia or do you think he should skip it this year? This is just personal decision, personal idea.
Personal?
Yeah.
I would probably do it.
Really? What's the advantage of doing it in your mind?
Well, getting on number one, you've qualified, get on that stage and show them why you're qualified.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, and who knows what's going to happen in the future. You go out and you might put a bench out there and you do too much and you rip a peck or something. Who the hell knows?
You're
you
right.
know, I mean,
true.
Anything can happen. If you've made that stage, then show yourself. You know, I mean, that's quite an accomplishment, especially for a first-year pro to be able to walk on the Olympia stage. And who knows what may happen if he puts together, you know, he keeps working on it, and definitely improves his appearance, his, you know, the way he poses. And he's right. got quite a fan base there, and I'm sure they'd love to go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And Robin would love all those people to buy tickets to go as well.
Yeah, he would. You're right. You're right.
Promote it.
So, well, I guess, you know, it's weird because in years past with the LeVrones and Flex Wheeler, those guys, you know, they qualified, they went to the Olympia, and a lot of times they did real well there, too.
Yeah, exactly.
These days, people tend to skip it. I don't know. I guess it's not as prestigious maybe in their mind anymore. I don't know.
I don't know. To me, I mean, that's, you make it go.
I would go, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's the ultimate accomplishment.
Right.
Not many people can say that. So.
True. Well, Jim, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule and breaking down the show for us. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to call you up again and get your assessment of the next big show.
Anytime. Hope I didn't insult anybody. So.
We do it all the time.
Yeah, we do it all the time. It's okay.
Thanks, Jim.
All right,
thank
guys.
You, Jim.
Good
all right.
talking to you.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by 3 decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise. Up-to-the-minute news and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio. Hi, this is Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk. You are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio with John Romano and Dave Colombo, and keep listening to the best show on the air.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
All right, our next guest is the 2004 USA overall champion. He's also just finished second in the extremely competitive New York Pro Under 202 class this past Saturday. The man I'm talking about is none other than Mr. Nice Guy, Mark Dugdale. Welcome.
Thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. Good to be on your show.
How you doing, Mark?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, so we've never had you on the show before, and you know, since we haven't, I imagine this might be a boring question for you, and you've answered it 4 million times already, but why don't you tell our listeners, why'd you get into bodybuilding in the first place?
I guess I'm going to go off topic real quick. In terms of being on your show, I'm thankful that you guys have given me the opportunity to come on here. And I would have liked to have come earlier when you guys were with MD, but at the time I was with Weider, and now I'm with Robert Kennedy. And so I want to just thank Robert Kennedy for the opportunity to come on your show now. They were obviously flexible in that regard, so... happy to be on your show, so thank you for the invite.
Well, that's good, Mark, because I'm with Robert Kennedy, too, now, so we have a little commonality there.
All right, cool. Very good.
We're waiting for John's first article to be published. I haven't seen it.
It was supposed to be in this month's issue. It's not there. I don't know what's going on. I got to call Bill Geiger.
Oh, really? Right on.
So what brought you into this iron dungeon that you now call home?
Oh, man. Got to go way back. I'm thinking back to my first show was in 93, and my cousin was married to a bodybuilder, and we went to watch him, and Dorian Yates was the guest poser. It was Emerald Cup, I think, in 92, and as soon as I saw Dorian, I was like, holy crap, this guy's a freak.
Everyone said that.
totally blew me away. I mean, at 17, you know, just about all the pros blew me away. So after that, and seeing my cousin's husband compete, and he kind of took me under his wing and taught me about, you know, nutrition and training and whatnot, I decided to do my first show when I was 18, and ended up winning the teenage division at the Northwest Natural, and was hooked basically from there. You know, a football injury put me into the weight room when I couldn't play my junior year in high school. So I just liked the idea of lifting weights and having it really come down to you versus a team sport, you know, and bodybuilding. I mean, not to take anything away from my wife, because she's definitely part of the team, but at the end of the day, I'm the one that's got to move the weights and eat the food that's on the diet and do all the hard work. So I like being able to just have to depend upon yourself, I guess, to some extent.
I can relate to that, definitely. You know, I know where you're coming from. And, you know, also another thing I can relate to is, you know, I competed as an amateur, obviously, for many years. How did it feel for you, you know, at the 2004 USA to actually win the show and get a pro card? Was that something that you envisioned that you would ever be capable of doing?
No, to be totally honest with you. I mean, I was talking to my wife, Christina, at the New York show, and because we ran into Vinny Galante and his wife, Sheila, who are just fantastic couple. And thinking back to when I met my wife 13 years ago, and we got engaged, and I was going to diet for the Emerald Cup, and she was like, well, what's this bodybuilding all about? And I remember pulling out my VHS tape of a recording from ESPN USA, NBC USA Championships, and this middleweight that I was so impressed with, which was Vinny.
Yeah,
I popped it in and was like, now this is what bodybuilding's all about. Check this guy out. So it was kind of funny, you know, how that all comes about.
Right. Well, but when you actually won, what was going through your head? Were you like, I'm a pro bodybuilder now? I mean, did you say to yourself, I'm gonna compete as a pro?
Yeah, I mean, it was never, I wasn't one of those guys when I was 18, I looked in the magazines and said, I'm going to be a pro bodybuilder, come hell or high water. I just wanted to be competitive. You know, when my wife got pregnant with our first daughter in 98, I was like, I better just go do the USA because I would, you know, was qualified. And I figured I wouldn't be able to compete after we had started having children. So I was like, I better go do it now. So just to be able to step on the national stage was like really the end goal for me. And then, you know, as it turned out, I was able to continue to train. And as we had our three daughters, and in 2003, I'd kind of hit the point where, like, if I couldn't turn pro by the time I was 30, then I was going to hang it up. Or if I couldn't even, I mean, at that point, I hadn't even gotten in the top five at a national show. So in 03, I went to the USA thinking, if I don't make the top five, I'm pretty much going to be done. And then I ended up getting third behind Chris Dim, and Richard Jones obviously won that year the overall. But the writing kind of was on the wall that, you know, if I trained for a year, came back in 04, you know, I'd actually have a shot of winning, which wasn't something I'd ever really conceived. But, you know, after 2003, my wife was like, you've got to go back. You're not done yet. So obviously went back, turned pro. And I always thought, okay, if I turn pro, then I'll retire because I'm not going to be able to compete against these guys. But, you know, you're on the high of winning the USA. So I just jumped in the Ironman the next year in the Arnold in San Francisco. And, you know, wasn't the biggest guy, but came in good shape and was somewhat competitive and was real encouraged that, you know, hey, maybe I can be a bit competitive, you know, on this professional level.
You know, Mark, you bring up a point before about, you know, meeting your wife, and 13 years ago you got married and you have three daughters, you're a businessman. I think are you still part owner of the produce business?
Yeah, 50-50 partners.
So you got that going on. I mean, that in and of itself leads to be, you know, a lot of, you know, stuff in your life to add pro bodybuilding on top of it. Given that selfish nature of the sport and the incredible demands it places on you, how do you manage that balancing act?
You know, I get that question all the time, and I don't even freaking know, to be honest. I mean, sometimes, especially just like, you know, getting into the real grind of the diet towards the end, sometimes I just look at my wife, and Christine, and I'm just like, what in the hell am I doing? I mean, I feel like I'm, you know, I mean, I'll be at work tomorrow at 8 a.m. I'm already home. I flew back, which was 2 a.m. West Coast time, to get back to be with our daughters for this afternoon.
You took a red eye, huh?
And, you know, cooking my food for tomorrow and everything else. Sometimes I just feel like I'm a mouse in the wheel, just running, and need a break sometimes. But, you know, I love to work out. I actually love to eat well. I don't really love the real hard dieting in the end, but I love, you know, the healthy lifestyle of eating well. I love to train. I love the sport of bodybuilding. So, you know, all of that I would probably be doing even if I didn't compete. And so, you know, with my business, I mean, this last year has been rough economically for everybody. I mean, thankfully we're in the food business, but it's definitely impacted, you know, our business. I've had to take a pay cut, and, you know, it's been a stressful year. And so I felt like I need to pour a bit more of myself into the bodybuilding side of it, you know, because, you know, business-wise, there's different avenues that I can pursue. So I figured, you know, I better get my face out there in bodybuilding and see what I can do, especially dropping down into this 202 class. So, you know, thankfully my wife's just a huge supporter and picks up the slack for me when I'm in the depths of the diet.
Let's talk about your placing when you placed second at the Ironman behind Tony Freeman a few years ago. After that show, you kind of had problems the next couple of years breaking into that top five again.
And a lot of people, I know Larry Pepe was one of your friends. He suggested to you, you know, why not go down to this 202 class that they created? It was perfect for you. And you were very, very resistant to this. What was your thinking with regard to that?
Yeah, after placing second to Tony, I was like, I can actually be competitive here. I can get to the Olympia in the open class. And it was sort of an ego thing. I would say what kept me back from the 202 class was twofold. It was a bit of an ego thing for me, being, you know, I want to compete against the big guys. It was like when I was, you know, after I won that teenage show, I immediately went and jumped into the open men's division in other amateur shows and got my ass kicked. But I was like, I want to go against the guy, you know, the best.
Right.
And so it was kind of like I felt the same way about going down to the 202. That coupled with the fact that I'd never worked with a trainer, and I started working with Joe McNeil, and this isn't a dig on him in any sense, but he was adamant, based on, you know, he's big into numbers, body fat percentage and lean muscle mass, all that, that I could compete in the 220s with some work and be in shape and, you know, be a real threat in the open class. And so he really had me convinced 202 was a total waste. So, you know, between him telling me that for, you know, a good 6 or 8 months, and then me and my pride and ego not wanting to go down to a 202 class, I kind of blew a year and a half there where I probably should have gone down. The heaviest I competed at was about 218 at the Tampa last August, working with Joe. And, you know, certain body parts looked better, but the overall package didn't look better. My waist was wider. And I've just realized, sort of discouraging, I realized that, you know, my frame isn't meant to be that, carry that much weight. It just doesn't look as pleasing as it does when I'm under 210. I mean, when I got second to Tony, I was probably 205.
Wow. How tall are you?
5'6".
You know, Mark, that's a kind of a conundrum for a lot of, you know, I don't want to say smaller, but maybe shorter or less statuesque bodybuilders.
Sure.
You know, for a long time, these guys have had a rough time like you in the pros. You know, their frame can only hold a certain amount of weight, and, you know, you go up, and just like you said, your body parts start looking crazy and not very pleasing. So with the creation of this under 202 class, there seems to be a renewed hope that these great physiques like yours are going to get the look that they're due. Has this new class changed your view on the future of the sport?
It has, and I have to say that, you know, I'm really, now that I've made the mental switch, I'm really encouraged. And like you said, I talked at length with Larry, who's a good friend, about, you know, is this the right move? And even Bob Ciccarello had been telling me, you know, for a year and a half, you know, the 202, that's made for a guy with a physique like yours. And while I resisted it, you know, when I really just got down and put my mind around it, there was no lose in the whole scenario. It was a win-win all the way around. I mean, I don't like being 240, 250 in the off season. I don't like, you know, trying to push my weight up to be competitive when I, you know, I don't even like how I look. I don't like how I feel. And, you know, I just feel like the 202's really opened the door for me to just be the best based on, you know, my God-given genetics and where I can push my physique, how far I can push it. And, you know, I really got to take my hat off to the IFBB for creating this division, because it really gives guys like me, plus a lot of other guys, you know, a place that we can still go compete, be a part of the IFBB, and I think it'll grow in popularity. I think a lot more people can relate to some degree with the type of physiques that are in the 202 than the open. So it's I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the IFBB was against it when they first started, which they are against most things when they first start. And then I think when they saw the groundswell behind this and the support for it, and now, I mean, this New York Pro was probably one of the best ones that I can remember. I think this might have been better than the showdown at the Olympia last year, really. I mean, you got to feel great. You placed second in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago behind Ed Correa. You redeemed that loss this week, beating not only him, but you beat David Henry, who won the Olympia showdown last year, placing, you know, only second to Kevin English, who was an absolute freak on stage. How did that make you feel?
I have to say, I mean, I was elated. I mean, normally it seems the pattern's been when my placement's announced, the crowd boos and my wife's crying. And for once, it wasn't booze for me. There was for David. There wasn't booze for me. And, you know, my wife's got tears again, but at least they're of joy. So it was really, really a high moment for us, because I feel like I've been working really hard for a long time, and it just hasn't come through. And I felt good to, you know, turn the tables on Ed Correa, fantastic bodybuilder, didn't even know who he was before the Pittsburgh. And then David, you know, I'm good, you know, him and his wife Nikki are real friendly with me and my wife, and we actually drove out to Steve's gym to both weigh in, so I saw him not make weight. He was almost 205 on Friday afternoon. And my history with David's been, you know, when David's dead on in conditioning wise, he's tough to beat. But there's every once in a while he comes in a little soft for him, and if I'm dead on, history's proved that I usually beat him. And so when we both went and weighed in and I knew he was that heavy, I knew I definitely had a shot of beating him. And he's a fantastic bodybuilder. Obviously, he won the 202 Olympia, an absolute freaky physique. And I think he was dramatically improved from prejudging to finals. So anyone that came to finals and saw him get third was probably like, what the hell? But at prejudging, I would say he was probably in fourth coming out of prejudging with Ed beating him. And I think if he had not come back looking that good for finals, I think he would have ended up in fourth even. So,
Mark, is it a challenge for you to hit that 202 mark?
You know, I made the decision shortly after the Ironman. I kind of stuck to my diet, but really after the Arnold, which I didn't compete in, but when I got home from the Arnold is when I really started dieting. And I didn't tell anybody, really, other than Larry, that I was going to do the 202. I mean, even my training partners, you know, it was like 3 weeks in, and they're like, dang, dude, like, when are you going to start looking like you're in the off season? And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to guest pose at the Emerald Cup, so I want to stay in good shape. And so I didn't even tell them for probably 3-4 weeks, mainly because I wasn't sure if I could get down to 202. I hadn't been down there since 2005, my first year as a pro. And as it turned out, actually, it wasn't bad. I mean, when I worked with Joe McNeil and he brought me in at 218, that was the worst diet of my bodybuilding career.
What was your diet like to get down to 202?
You know, I just went back to the basics, the same stuff. I mean, chicken, broccoli, you know, oatmeal, and I did a bit more like MCT oil and good fats and stuff.
What did McNeil have you doing?
And similar, just more though. I ate a lot more, but I did a lot more cardio.
Oh, okay.
And all I remember was just being dead tired, mentally checked out. I felt like a crappy father and husband for like 6 weeks. I was just dead. And I mean, literally after the show, those shows, like, I didn't even want to eat. I just wanted to go sleep. I was so tired. I was like, I just want to go lay down and sleep for like a good week. So it's really weird. I mean, you would think, you know, going down to 202 that it would have been more difficult, but as it turned out, you know, I guess maybe, you know, the experience with Joe was a very good learning experience, both, you know, good things and bad things, but overall it was a great learning experience. And I learned that, you know what, nobody knows my body better than me. And I'm in tune with it when I'm dieting, and I can tell when I'm pushing it too hard and I'm giving up too much muscle, or if I'm, you know, not pushing it enough and not dropping the fat the way I should. And, you know, just went back to the basics, listened to my body, and the weight just slowly came off, and I felt great actually dieting.
Yeah, I think guys that have been dieting a long time, that, you know, sometimes need a crutch, and that's why they use a prep coach. And I prep a lot of guys, so some people just like to be babysat. But, you know, if you're pretty independent minded and you have your good insight into your own self and who you are, and you're not going to delude yourself, it's pretty easy to get yourself in shape. You know, once you've been doing it a long time.
Right, and partly, you know, with Joe, it was like I'd never worked with anybody, so, you know, I was starting to think, you know, you're never too old to learn something new. So I figured, you know, maybe there's something that I don't know. And as it turns out, you know, I think I know a fair amount. I don't consider myself a guru. I mean, people talk to me about preparing them for whatever, which I don't have time for. But I'm not an expert in nutrition. I'm not an expert in training, other than an expert in nutrition and training for Mark Dugdale. That's it.
Let's talk about some other new learning experiences. And I only want to ask you this because I know you've been asked this before, but I think it's pretty entertaining. You know, you went out and trained with Dorian Yates. Your new training video has a lot of that in there. Jeff, the producer here, is with us, loves that video. And he says that, in the video, I haven't seen the whole thing. I only saw some clips of it. There's a section there where Dorian's actually yelling at you and teaching you how to train your back properly.
Yeah.
Tell us about that scene a little bit.
Yeah. You know, going through all the workouts, you know, Dorian was fairly complimentary in terms of my intensity and my, you know, the form that I used and everything else. And then we get to back, and which my back is obviously my weak body part. It always has been. It still is, and I'm still working to improve it. But what he taught me was basically I wasn't really squeezing the last, I don't know, quarter of the movement on things. And I don't know what we were doing, seated cable rows or something. And I do a warm-up set, do a first set, and get done, and he's like looking at me kind of funny, and I'm like, what's up? And he was like, well, that was a piss poor fucking attempt. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because I thought he was just like, I mean, he was busting my balls the whole time. So I'm like, are you kidding me? And he was like, no, that was ridiculous. You know, you're not even pulling it back. You know, and he's like, this is how you need to do it. And he sits down with the weight that I was using crappy form on and just yanks it back like it's nothing and holds it there, and then turns and looks at me while he's holding it, and he's like, you got to get it back, like, back to here. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm like, so it was pretty funny, actually. But
did you actually learn anything from him? I mean,
I did. I mean, a lot of people think he, like, prepared me for the Olympia that year and all this other stuff, and in reality, I was there for about 5 days, and I was sick. So I was only able to train for about three. We put all four workouts into the last 3 days, and didn't have a lot of time to go over a whole lot of stuff, like nutrition wise or anything. But definitely all the workouts, his back training advice was very helpful. I mean, Dorian's very knowledgeable, and even I was a bit surprised with, you know, body mechanics and how to, you know, approach different exercises. I learned a lot. So I'm still not where I want to be, but, you know, take that knowledge along with what I learned from Joe and other things along the way, and, you know, hopefully continue to make improvements.
Well, any other interesting stories or events happened at Temple Gym while you were there?
Gosh, I would say probably the craziest thing was just me getting food poisoning, like the day we got on the airplane, and then we drove from Heathrow Airport up to Birmingham, and which was a couple hours, I believe, and I'm sick as hell, and we're driving on the wrong side of the road, or at least for me. And my wife thought she got an automatic, but she got a manual.
Oh shit!
And we're using the, you know, this GPS with her British accent. They got all these roundabouts and stuff. And I don't know. It was crazy.
It was like National Lampoon's European Vacation.
Just getting there, yeah. Just getting there was pretty crazy.
Sounds like a nightmare.
Dorian is a really cool guy, and it was a really neat experience to be able to train with the guy that really inspired me to get into bodybuilding. You know, to be able to go there and train in his environment, you know, half the same pieces of equipment that he trained in Blood and Guts, which was my favorite, you know, training DVD or video, I should say, back then. It was an awesome experience.
That sounded great. Now, you know, now that we got everyone all excited about this thing, how can they purchase this DVD, or how can they get in touch with you in general?
Basically, it's available on different websites, but, you know, obviously you can go to my website, which is just markdugdale.com. There's a store page. You can order it through there. I ship worldwide. I probably sold more to England than I have anywhere else.
Really?
Actually. So there's obviously a lot of Dorian fans still over there.
Very cool.
In national pride. They love Temple Gym.
Yeah. Funny though, I showed the video to some of my my friend who filmed it showed it to, like, his dad, who's ex-Marine, and, you know, Dorian's always making wisecracks about the Americans in the video, and he was like, who is this asshole, you know? So it's pretty funny, but Dorian's got that great British sense of humor, and which I enjoy, so it was fun.
Yeah, he's got a dry sense of humor.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I assume if anyone wants to get in touch with you for guest posings or any appearances, also they can get them through the website as well?
Yep, absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you taking time out of your schedule. I know you don't really have much time to spare, so, you know, I'm glad you got a chance to call in and stop by, and, you know, we wish you the best of luck at the Olympia Showdown come September.
Thanks, Dave and John. I really appreciate you coming on, and I'm pumped, man. I'm going to start training tomorrow for the Olympia, and, you know, it's going to be a battle. I mean, the guys that were in the New York show and some of these other guys, you know, as well, that are out there, I mean, there's no one dominant guy, you know, destroying everybody. So it's going to be up for grabs between, you know, probably five guys at least.
Sure. I think we got a preview.
It's
going to
be pretty exciting.
This is like a preview, I think, of what's to come, probably. Same guys are going to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, outside of, Flex Lewis, probably, yeah. That was the group right there. So it's going to be good.
Well, we wish you the best of luck, Mark, and we'll be keeping an eye on your career.
Thanks again. I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Mark.
This is Heavy Muscle Radio, only on RxMuscle.com.
ALR Industries. ALR Industries products are backed by three decades of experience in the science and lifelong dedication to bodybuilding from its founder, Arthur L. Ray. In 2001, ALR Industries was created to give the hardcore bodybuilder the edge you need to build the perfect beast. Hyperdrive 3.0 is a synergistic blend of fat-burning herbs which yields the most potent legally available formula on the market today. Hyperdrive 3.0 will burn fat, control your appetite, improve your mood and focus, and give you an energy boost you've never experienced. Restore. Restore blocks estrogen, enhances libido, and optimizes free testosterone. You'll be stronger, recover faster, and build muscle like never before. Then, fuel your workouts with the great-tasting and energy-enhancing Hyper Shot. Hyper Shot will boost your athletic performance to new levels, allowing you to train harder, improve your endurance, and get the most out of your time in the gym. Whining is not an option for those who refuse to accept mediocrity. Visit ALRIndustries.com today.
When you hit the gym, you set in motion a fundamental set of molecular activation signals and cellular growth mechanisms that deliver your desired gains in mass and strength. The magnitude of those processes, as well as how efficiently your muscles recover force production, can dramatically affect your net progress in a training cycle. Progenics protein supplements interact precisely and powerfully to amplify these pathways to produce enhanced growth responses of 100% or more compared to conventional whey protein sources. And they facilitate full recovery of force production in just 6 hours following the most grueling workout, allowing you to train harder, more frequently, for more dramatic gains. Experience the exclusive metabolic advantage available from Nature's Toolbox and Dr. Scott Connolly, renowned pioneer in applied dairy science and inventor of the original Metrex product. Go to ProgenicsSRG.com and use the code NBR801 to get 10% off the purchase of any single Progenics product.
RxMuscle.com. Now you have a place to turn when you want the truth on bodybuilding, diet, and exercise, up-to-the-minute news, and more. Visit the RxMuscle.com forums featuring celebrity Q&As with IFBB professional athletes, top amateurs, and the brightest minds in the industry. Listen to our weekly radio shows, including Heavy Muscle Radio, Muscle Girls Inc., After Hours, and more. Contest coverage, videos, even our own social networking site, RX Muscle Place. Visit RxMuscle.com.
Heavy Muscle Radio.
This is Ed Cohen, world powerlifting champion, holder of 100 or more world records, and you are listening to Heavy Muscle Radio.
This hour of Heavy Muscle Radio is brought to you by Progenics. Visit ProgenicsSRG.com.
All right, John, we have a surprise guest in the studio today. He just showed up at my house unannounced, and I can't turn him away because he's probably one of the most popular guests we've had on the show since we've been doing this thing in January. The guy I'm talking about is Big Ben White. Welcome to the show here.
Welcome. I'm back.
What are you doing out here on Long Island?
Oh, you ain't got no lock on your front door, so I came on in.
He came in and said, feed me, man. I'm hungry.
Feed me and 55 stop signs. Woo.
He doesn't like all the stop signs,
like
John.
The stop signs. Well, New York has a lot of stop signs.
No, Dave House has a lot of stop signs. New York has yellow lights.
You know, I have a lot of stop signs as you travel through the back development here to get to my house, and I, you know, I kind of coast through them because when you have like 15 that you have to stop at, you just, it's just not something you want to do all the time. And the cops know this, so they, what they do, John, is they sit like behind other cars, and they park behind other cars, and they try to catch you. And I'm always getting pulled over because I just don't stop. And luckily, I know one of the cops who live in the police precinct on the corner, so they kind of know me by now. But they must generate insane revenue from these people going through stop signs here.
That's what the stop signs are for. They're revenue generators.
I put them up for safety. Up. It's not for safety?
Oh, hell no. Because why would you have four of them at the intersection?
You put a speed bump up.
That's right. So, well, Ben, you placed 10th at the New York Pro this past Saturday.
I did.
Which was ironically worse than you did last year.
Is that news to you?
It's not. I mean, it's news now that I actually did know about. I can't lie, but I did find out earlier. But it's not news to me because I came with a different physique. This physique got judged on me being 252 pounds versus being 225 pounds.
I was going to say, I thought it was a better physique. You were bigger. You regained the size I think you had lost over the year. And while your conditioning wasn't spot on from behind in the glute hamstring area, I thought you did have a better overall package. Do you think that you didn't place as well because the lineup was tougher?
I think because I was on the back row, I needed to send my application in earlier so I get a low number and stick on the front.
Most people want to change their diet, hire a new trainer. Ben wants to enter earlier.
It's like pole position. Like you got to get a better pole.
I need one or two or three.
Do you watch auto racing, Ben?
Auto racing, I was retired. Remember, I was at home. I had to dig a ditch, knock down a pool with a sledgehammer, walk everywhere because you know how you're a retirement, can't collect money. So
you're like an old guy, huh?
Yeah, I was an old guy. 32. Wow.
That's what they, well, they were saying that you were retired on the board. Now, do you think that they were just saying that to be facetious, or were you actually considering not competing again?
I think they were saying that I was retired, and I actually asked Jim Manning, was I retired? And evidently I wasn't, because when I submitted my application, I got back.
Well, oh, he did give it back to you, so I guess you still had your IFBB card.
Yes, as black.
It's black, your card?
Yeah, my car's black. I got the black card.
Do the white guys get white cards?
No, they get the black, too.
All right.
The IFBB black card. So, you know, since you mentioned 1, 2, and 3, why let's talk about Evan Santopani winning the show. What do you think about that in the truest Ben White fashion?
Truest Ben White fashion, Evan won. I mean, no doubt about it. Evan got the check.
Was he the best man on the stage?
Evan won. He's the best.
Oh, let's ask your opinion.
Evidently, he was the best one on the stage. I mean, he won, so I can't really say nothing about it.
Well, you guys have this like rivalry going. You're having pretty bad luck against them. Huh?
Everybody has people to go against. Ronnie had Jay, then Ronnie got out of it. Now Jay got Dexter. I mean, I gotta have somebody to go against. And me and Evan came in at the same time, so evidently I need my glutes and hamstrings tightened up so I can place higher. That's why I got you now.
I thought that's right. You know, John. Said you.
You're stuttering, man. You're stuttering. You're not gonna train me.
Yeah, yeah. I talked to Ben yesterday, and you know, he was asking me what I thought and what he thinks he should do. What I think he should do, and I told him I think you ought to work with Dave. And he liked that idea, and I figure since, you know, there's that little hole left by Evan, you know, Ben might as well fill it and you know, take the spoils of that reward.
I mean, you got to go from the Nationals to the USA. I'm Mr. USA. Can you handle me?
Ben, I can handle you. I was born handling guys like you. If you're willing to work hard now, I think we'll get good results, because you and I do get along. We speak a lot on the phone.
27 pounds in 1 year. That's hard work.
Well, you know what it is? I think that the biggest mistake that you had made was that you gave up the powerlifting roots that you came from, which is where you got all the muscle to begin with. And you were doing a lot of shaping-type exercises, and when you lost that thickness, you lost what made you Ben White.
You can't powerlift eating fish, so I had to go to bison.
To what?
You eat bison.
Buffalo?
Buffalo. Buffalo. Like my Native American cousins or friends or somebody.
Now, John, here's a good question for you, because you know I have this guy who's sending me these buffalo jerky strips.
Right.
He owns a buffalo ranch, a grass-fed buffalo ranch, and you know how I feel about grass-fed beef. Grass-fed buffalo have very high omega-3 content to them. Is buffalo the same buffalo that roamed the plains here when hundreds of years ago?
Absolutely, same animal.
It's not like mixed bred with cattle or anything like that.
No, well, I mean it has evolved a little bit, but pretty much it's the same.
Evolved? It's 300 years.
No, I mean it's evolved. You know, like woolly mammoths, you know, it's not that, not like them, but
it's
the same animal. The ones the Indians used to kill. It's the same thing.
All right.
Same one.
Ooh. Now, what do you like about buffalo, Ben?
It doesn't talk back.
It has a big head and doesn't talk back.
Kind of like a couple people we know, right?
Kind of like somebody I'm talking to now.
That's right. I do talk back, though. Get abused on my own radio show, John.
You know, I noticed, Ben, you're sitting there, you know, lovingly stroking Dave's pet Maltese.
You got a white
is that Bella? That's Bella.
That's Bella.
White. What do you think about dogs?
I love dogs. I got three dogs of my own. Winston, Stella. I'd like to say shout out if y'all can understand me. Roof, roof.
Now, you were telling us an interesting anecdote about dogs before, smelling you or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my dogs are very, very, you know how dogs sniff people. They sniff their butts so that they can test them out and see if they got any, like, little sugar in their tank. So I use my dogs to let me know who to invite over and who not to invite over.
Now, when you say sugar in your tank, what are you referring to?
I said sugar in your tank. You got to be politically correct. It's like the Miss USA pageant. I don't want them to be ringing my doorbell, sending me hate emails. So, I mean, you got if you're insensitive about yourself, my dogs can sense it.
Gotcha.
Because they will hump your leg. If you, even the female.
So if you play,
I don't know how the female get up there, but she gets up there and just.
I take it your animals are not fixed, huh?
Oh, no, they are fixed. That's the bad part.
They work great. They're just oversexed. Huh?
They just wear balloons down there. They're like, yo, check me out. It's that testing leave they be taking.
I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
It's probably a good thing.
Yeah. What's the latest imitations, Ben? You're usually the master of imitating people, and our viewers love when you do your imitations. So, you got any new ones?
Really, I haven't been working on them, but the line on the Wizard of Oz, I've been doing good with it, but.
Give us a little take on it.
Are y'all ready for this?
Yep.
If I were the king of the forest, I wouldn't be scared of nothing.
The Wizard of Oz.
That's great.
I got the munchkins too. Follow the yellow brick road.
Can you do the wizard?
I can't do the wizard. Well, I can do Macho Man. Yeah, brother, come Tampa, Ben White will come out magnificent. Isn't that right, brother?
Well, let me tell you, brother, ever since I got Ben White working with the keto diet, he's dropped a lot of weight. Glutes are striated like a horse. Hey, Ruby,
Ben, you're
it's
one of a kind.
In here.
Ben's sweating.
Yeah, Ben's sweating.
He's doing all the work.
I got some in me. You know what the is? I wish they could see me.
Jeff, you may be replaced.
Yeah. I had this guy roll up on me.
We need to get him a towel.
No, really. He rolled up on me in a wheelchair, pointing at me. And he actually hit me.
What?
And he took a second before I hit him back and watched him how he got up. He slid down, and then he propped himself back up and rolled back off.
Really?
That's the end of it.
You got hit with a wheelchair?
No, the guy hit me in a wheelchair.
With what?
His hand.
Oh, he like slapped you?
Yeah, and I slapped him back and he fell off. But that wasn't funny. The funny part was watching him get back up in the wheelchair. Like, man, come on.
What did he hit you for?
Just because, I mean, he thought I wasn't going to hit him back. He said he wanted to be treated right, so I parked in his space and made him park all the way at the top.
You took his handicap spot?
Yeah. You know, he wanted equal rights, so I gave him equal rights.
Mr. G likes to do that to the handicap guys, too. He's like, they like to be treated like the normal.
They
want
to be treated equal, so he had to park in aisle K, while I parked right in the aisle A, right next to the store, and walked in.
Hey, he asked for it, right? What am I going to say?
Ben, are you still living in Albany?
Yes, I'm still living in Albany.
How are the streets in Albany?
I mean, we got good streets, we got bad streets, we got pothole streets, but we ain't got all these stop signs.
I heard you've been doing some work on your house on your own since you're poor now.
Yeah, since I've been retired and not collecting no money and basically having to shave myself with broke liquor bottle glasses that you've seen in the previous one. I somehow managed to put like a 60-something inch TV on the wall.
With all the deposit bottles you turned in, right?
Yeah, all the deposit bottles I turned in, and then I was able to savage up some glass, you know, like said, glass come from the sand and stuff, so I was mixing it in the backyard because that's what it's made of. I got this big mural in the back I pose out of. Got a couple of lights that we had to transfer from what? The neighbors? Yeah, we got a drop cord going from the neighbor's house.
Keep
the lights on. We love it. It was raining, boy. We got the fresh water shower, open shower. Serious. Just was able to cut the grass, enough gas. I was like, whoa, we had a siphon on the truck.
You didn't have a manual mower?
No, we had to siphon.
I heard that's how you're doing cardio.
No, we had to cipher it out in the
siphon,
truck.
Siphon.
Siphon or cipher. I'm from the south, so cipher.
Cipher's a little different.
Y'all white people correcting me. Oh, so I better be quiet. I shouldn't be talking this loud. They might just cut me off. Everybody asked me, why did you come up north? They told me we was free. I said, up here now, sir. With a white woman. Whoa! And I said, can read, too. Ain't that right, Pookie Boo? I'm homeless now. I'm going to stay in Dave. Dave got a dock in the back. I got a fuck bill. Then I'll be singing that song, sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tides roll away.
I don't even know where this stuff comes from, John.
No, because I'm just not placing no check. I gotta do something. Paddle the water out there, catch the balls that's coming over the fence over there. Do something.
You should do
I got it.
You should do stand up.
Oh, I can't do stand up. Can't stand up now. Look at me.
Do sit down.
I'll do sit down. That's a go. I'll roll out there on stage. Won't put my brakes. Start laughing. Slide off.
Now, is it true, Ben, that you're doing strongman training now?
I'm doing strongman training. Just like I said before, previously. I mean, you got to hit your body from every different angle, and you got some big guys out there that lift logs and stuff. So why not?
So you're not lifting logs because you can't afford a gym membership.
No, right? I am lifting logs because I can't afford a gym membership. Right. We got no trees in the backyard now.
No. You chopped them all down.
I chopped them all. No. I didn't actually chop them down. The dogs, they got Aussies. They got long claws. So we both out there just scratching at it. And I got a little dumbbells. I don't know what the weight is, but I know it's kind of heavy because strain your arm a little bit, the vein come out. Can't bench it no more, though, because dog, every time I lay on the ground to try to bench it, I just only got that little short range of motion. So I can't work my chest. I only can do push-ups now, for real.
Well, you said you did that. That's all you did anyway, right?
Yeah, but now, really, I only can do push-ups. Got a big fire pit outside to cook all my bison meat on. Sitting in the sand.
I assume you kill the bison wild. They're wild bison.
Yeah, we got wild bison out there. Really. We'll just out there and just kill it. Cook it on the fire pit. Use wood that, since that storm came, we got a bunch of wood that people put out on the side, so I go in there with a little wagon and hook the dogs up late at night so can't nobody see me. We sneak like we going to do it like up north, like, shh, the ears are coming. I seen some wood over yonder. Let's go get it. But my dog know how to fetch wood, too. I wish he was here. He'll say, right!
Your dog talks?
Yeah, my dog talks. You never heard a talking dog before?
No.
Watch this. They dog will talk. What's your dog name?
Bella.
Bella, say something. Say something to the people.
She's giving him the kisses.
Right.
All right. That I don't even know what to say anymore, John. I think Ben's taking over the show pretty much.
Pretty much.
Right. We should give him the show.
Yeah. You means y'all got Central Air? We don't have this kind of stuff where I come from.
We got a fan on Ben.
This is Central Air.
It's only Central because it's sitting in the middle of my knee.
Oh, thank you, sir. So kind.
You know, Ben, John.
Never seen air come out of a thing like this. What does this button do right here?
No, don't push it.
Oh, you have more air. Katrina, here we come!
Except that wrecks up the microphone.
Ben, maybe you got some advice for John, because you know you know all about retirement and not having any money.
Enjoy.
Yeah, John's is moving up to New York here, believe it or not,
from Fargo. I'm homeless. Yeah, I'm homeless.
John's got to move up here to New York, Ben, because he's homeless now, and he's got to rent an apartment, and it's a big step for him, you know, to go from this nice luxury condo he was living in.
Stay with Dave like I'm doing. I has no idea how I'm getting back.
What do you recommend for John to, like, you know, get used to, you know, something that's a little more modest?
Just telling you, when it get cold outside, just go stand out there because you going to feel it.
Well, Ben, you grew up in a house that had no heat, right?
Yeah, I grew up in a house with no roof. Not no heat, no roof. Lay on top of each other. Get a fat chick. Get somebody with low self-esteem that don't care about themselves. When they move out to bed, just roll over and it feels so warm.
John, that may be a solution to your problems.
There you go. I got it all worked out.
You got to get a fat chick.
Yep.
You can be their belt buckle. Just wrap around.
Oh boy. Oh, all right, well, Ben, we're going to see you next on stage at the Tampa Pro. God willing, everything works out properly. We may see you in that winner's circle.
Hopefully everything goes right. But like I said before, I'm not promising nothing. I'm bringing a different physique in, and I'll have strawberry glutes this time.
All right, man. Ben, thanks for stopping by my house. Hopefully, I'll be able to get you to
thanks
get
in your car and leave. You didn't even know I was here until I just started talking.
You're always welcome here, Ben. The door's always open.
Got my eyes closed, my teeth shut. Can't see me, can you?
Not if it's dark out, no.
It's dark in here. There you got a feather on the ceiling fan. Eagle feather.
All right, I'm going to go. All I'm going to go feed Ben White, and John and I are going to go get some nourishment. Ben, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks,
thank
Ben.
You.
All right. Thank you.
All right, John, that was a great show. Great guests. We got surprised as hell by Ben White. You know, I knew someone was sneaking into the studio. I didn't realize Ben was going to come and bring his whole comedy act with him.
I'm still laughing. That guy is so funny. Why won't he do stand-up? Don't you think he would be absolutely perfect as a stand-up comedian?
He's the kind of guy, though, you got to get real relaxed. As he got more relaxed in the studio, the comedy just came out. If you put him on stage and told him to just act out a comedy act, he probably couldn't do it. Because I think a lot of his stuff is just spontaneous. Off the cuff.
Yeah, well, Robin Williams was like that, and he made decent living out of it.
Well, maybe once he's done bodybuilding, we'll get him to go to the improv, and we'll we'll bring the whole whack pack down there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
You know who was at the improv once? You know that Peter Paul was up on stage at the improv once?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Did you ever see that? There's a clip on YouTube.
Yeah, is there?
It's hysterical.
Peter Paul that's still alive.
Peter Paul, the barbarian brother, David's brother.
Right.
He actually was started out really, really funny. Making fun of the people in what he calls Unholywood, and right. Talking about the bad news Jews, you know, he talks about the run on Unholywood, and people were laughing. I actually said, this guy's he's doing it. It's unbelievable. But then he started making these retarded sounds like and he starts coughing. You know, he goes into that coughing fit where he's like choking to death. Well, that was the end of that was the whole act, and then he ran out of time. So,
oh man!
But people were laughing when he was coughing too. So I think they thought it was part of the gig.
Oh, it wasn't?
I don't know what it was. He was just like, you know, he starts like making all these freaky, weird sounds.
Oh, my God. That guy's out of his mind.
Yeah, he is. Anyway, we're at the end of the show. I don't even know how many hours it was. Jeff will tell us later. So but I want to thank our guests, Jim Raquel, Ben White, and Mark Dugdale for stopping by. Until next week, remember, with Heavy Muscle Radio, the truth hurts. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Heavy Muscle Radio is a presentation of RXMuscle.com. The truth in bodybuilding. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Dave Palumbo and John Romano. Only on Heavy Muscle Radio.